I'm Lisa Salters at the Meadowlands, where Green Bay will try to strengthen its blossoming playoff prospects with a fourth consecutive win. A 2-5 start left the Packers with just a 6% chance to make the postseason. But a 4-1 stretch has skyrocketed that probability to 68% today. Green Bay also has the NFL's easiest remaining schedule. And more holiday cheer for Packers fans? They've won their last 16 games played in December. Now it's time for Around the Horn.
Thank you, Lisa. Kadarius Toney. More than a toe and knee over the line. I'm not insulted as a habitual line stepper. I'm insulted as a Toney. But how Mahomes
did react with another game, and we're talking about the refs, man. This is not what we want for the NFL and for football.
A bit embarrassing in the National Football League for that to take place.
What it means today. And also, yeah, here we are. Here we go. Yep. Cowboys traps the Eagles. And DeMarcus Lawrence's message to the league.
In the face. Over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, mute him in the face.
And when they quit, hit him again. And again.
And again. And again. And again. And again. And again. Let's go around the horn. I love that.
What are you trying to say? You guys
That's what I like to do with Isola when he's on the bench.
I've played 7 years, never had offensive offsides called. They warn you, and there was no warning throughout the entire game. And then you wait till there's a minute left in the game to make a call like that. Regardless if we win or lose, man, just for the end with another game, and we're talking about the refs.
But wait, there was more.
I never use any of this as excuses, but normally I get a warning before something like that happens in a big game. A bit embarrassing in the National Football League for that to take place.
And still, even more.
Like I said, man, that's a Hall of Fame tight end making a Hall of Fame play that won't be shown because we threw a flag for an offensive offsides.
And still, even more quote board edition. Jerick McKinnon said the refs had it out for us tonight, huh? Mahomes and Reed and the champs like you've never seen them before. Buffalo 20, Kansas City 17. Here's the play in question, of course. Could have been one of the great plays of all time, but it wasn't. George, can Mahomes and Reed and KC react the way they did? And what does it mean that they did?
Toney, I'm throwing a flag on them. They crossed the line with their reaction in that postgame yesterday. It sounded very whiny, to be honest with you, for a team that historically, at least in fans' eyes, feels like they've gotten the benefit of the doubt more times than not. It just was weird considering they had the time to see, potentially, in theory, what transpired. And it wasn't just Kadarius Toney. Look at the other side of the line. Juwan Taylor was lined up too far off the line. You could have thrown a flag on that situation as well. I just don't understand their position on this. Yes, they've had some issues with the officials, particularly in Green Bay, but didn't mean they were going to win that game either. And this, to me, is all about them just being upset and furious about the combination of things that have happened to them on offense. The offense is not as good, and it's particularly because of the receivers. So I'm not surprised that eventually they exploded, but I just don't think it's a good look for them.
Courtney Cronin, to you now. On the call on the field and the way Kansas City reacted and reacted and reacted.
And the reaction today from Andy Reid was that Kadarius Toney, he admitted he did not check with the official to make sure that he was aligned properly, which the official doesn't need to, like, warn him about in that moment. Be like, oh, by the way, line up here. It's not like you've been playing football for decades at this point. If you read the pool report, the officials on site provided a really detailed explanation that Kadarius Toney was so egregiously offside, so far into the neutral zone, that his body blocked the official's view of the ball. So that should tell you everything you need to know. To me, the misplaced anger from Patrick Mahomes is a sign of bigger issues within this offense. We know that they're not really a disciplined group. They lead the league in receiver drops, despite the fact that 52% of Mahomes' passes are arriving to his receivers with 3 degrees of separation. 3 yards of separation. So it's not necessarily on him. It's everybody else failing him within this offense that's gone from first to 11th in points per game from Eric Bieniemy to Matt Nagy.
Mahomes could be frustrated. Andy Reid could be frustrated. Kevin, how'd you hear the reaction at the podium after the game? I thought it was sour grapes. I thought that they were trying to spin it to their advantage because everybody loves Kansas City and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes is everyone's favorite quarterback. But here's the thing that Patrick Mahomes didn't point out in his last 7 years. They've lost three of their last four games. For the second time in the Patrick Mahomes era, they've already lost five games and they got four to go. And for the first time in the Patrick Mahomes era, they are staring at being a playoff team on the road. So that is what is eating at them, and that's what came over and what exploded over the edge in this particular game. Who was at fault here? Patrick Mahomes was partly at fault. How many times do you see a quarterback come out and check to make sure everybody's in the right position? Of course, Tony was at fault here for not getting back after he looked down the line. And what about Creed Humphrey, the center, who looks both ways? He could have been someone who could have indicated that somebody was not in the right position. So this was a complete collapse on the part of the offense. And, by the way, Mahomes, that wasn't fourth down. They still had another down to play. So they could have
rectified this. I'm sensing there is unanimity here, but I'll go to Pablo Torre first on the call on the field and then the reaction and reaction from Kansas City.
Tony, I've been waiting, sort of listening to everybody talk, and I've been trying to figure out, is there a way I can spin this in the favor of the Kansas City Chiefs? And it is damning that there really is none. There really, Tony, what I want to point out is this. KB sort of buried the lead here in his laundry list of people who deserve blame. Kadarius Tony deserves blame. This is the guy who made the play, who caught that ball, and he's the same guy that resulted in this whole conversation. And look, the thing about Patrick Mahomes is that it sounded like he expected a quid pro quo here. Remember, George alluded to this. Last week, Green Bay, he says, you know what? Didn't mind the call, the non-call, whatever. I like the idea that we're allowed to play. He comes out and he's like, where is my back being scratched? I did you guys a solid. I got nothing. And he was so mad. It seemed as a result of it, the guy he should have been mad at, say with me again, Kadarius.
Right. So unanimous, 100 out of 100, that player was offsides on that play. It doesn't matter that in the 25,000 offensive snaps in the history of Andy Reid coaching before, there had never been an offensive offsides. This was one that needed to be called. You all agree on that. Let me ask a quick follow-up, Courtney, because you said something as we were sitting down. We've seen the greatest players of all time. Tom Brady used to go crazy on the sideline. We've seen LeBron James in another sport go to his knees after a bad call against the Boston Celtics a few years ago. But did this kind of change your overall, maybe not the way you view Mahomes as a person, but just view Mahomes?
I know I speak for 31 other teams here who have seen a lot of calls go Patrick Mahomes' way. He didn't have any issue with getting hit in bounds last week and accepting that 15-yard penalty in Green Bay, which ended up helping the Chiefs outside of that drop that Marquez Valdes-Scantling had. But the demonstrative behavior, him yelling and screaming and throwing his helmet, like, we give this credence to passion in sports. To me, he was throwing a tantrum like a child in that moment.
Anybody want to give credit to the Buffalo Bills for going into Kansas City and reviving their season? Okay, let's do that, George Sedano. And we could just look at this Josh Allen extend the play to the sidelines play, which is just mesmerizing. Go ahead, George.
Tony, I mean, he's a one-man show at this point, particularly on offense, because it doesn't feel like there's anyone else they can really count on. Even Stephon Diggs yesterday didn't perform the way you would expect him to perform. So they have certainly answered the bell at a time where everybody was writing them off. They still have a very difficult schedule down the stretch, but they are the one team. If I'm one of those top seeds in the AFC, I don't want to see them in the first round.
Pablo Torre?
Yeah, they were 1-3 entering this game, Tony. The biggest winner of the whole Mahomes discourse is, of course, Sean McDermott. Remember, the guy who used the 9/11 hijackers as a teachable, you know, motivational tool. No one even remembers that at this point because we've been talking so much about the call.
Still not in the playoffs. There's a tiebreaker, and they're going to need to win some more games. But I think George is right. Who would want to meet them in the wild card round? We'll move on. Cowboys dismantling the Eagles. The other huge headline from this week. Philadelphia's lost two straight. Offense looks lost. Defense has been trucked the last two games. Tough to say a 10-3 team is scuffling, but maybe you will. On the other side, a December to remember for Dallas. Jerry says it's time to Dak get his due, and DeMarcus Lawrence was saying a whole lot more after the game. One more time, I need to hear this.
Hit a in the face over and over and over and over again until they quit. And when they quit, hit them again. and again, and again, and again.
Courtney, number one takeaway from Cowboys 33, Eagles 13.
The Eagles are in trouble. They've been outscored 75-32 by the two teams they are in direct competition for the number one overall seed. And you go back to that 49ers game, they allowed six straight touchdowns on six possessions to end that game. And then in the first half, Dallas scores on all four of its possessions. Dak was tremendous yesterday. The MVP is basically his at this point. Mm. We're going to talk about Brock Purdy,
okay.
But I think that Dak Prescott sealed it for me yesterday with the performance of the year in the game of the year for the Dallas Cowboys.
Devin Blackstone, takeaway.
Well, it reminds everyone that Dallas is very good in Dallas. I mean, what, averaging 41 points there, 5-0. Didn't lose a game there in 2022, by the way. And Dak Prescott is pretty much good everywhere, 28 touchdowns to just six picks. And yesterday was just fabulous again. So that's what it means. They're still 3-3 away from Dallas, and that's got to be concerning. They still score 17 fewer points away from Dallas. That's got to be concerning. But right now, and after yesterday, they can crow all they want. Am I worried about the Eagles? I'm not. San Francisco, the Dallas home record, I can kind of understand some of that.
Pablo Torre.
I would be worried about the Eagles if I was the Eagles. The Eagles are now in this morass of teams that seem like they could be good sometimes. And the Cowboys were that team when they lost the Eagles in Week 9. Since then, 5-0, led the NFL in scoring. But my biggest takeaway, Tony, I think is that I just noticed DeMarcus Lawrence wearing a chain that had DeMarcus Lawrence on it, which is a remarkable thing when it comes to just jewelry and self-branding.
George Sedano, takeaway from last night, Cowboys over the Eagles.
Tony, after that Week 9 game, I was on the show and I said that these two teams are close, that I know the Cowboys are an easy punching bag, but they were literally inches away from winning on the road. I do think that game is more representative of where these two teams are than this one, though. Dallas's defense is hellacious. We know that. We know the home record, as KB pointed out. But ultimately, three turnovers by the three best players from the Eagles, to me, I thought was a bit of an outlier. I don't see that happening. A.J. Brown, though, losing the one-on-one battles 2 weeks in a row, I think that's key for their offense to get the rest of their offense going. They do have to fix the defense with a quarter of the season left.
Okay, so they have to fix the defense. The turnovers, you think, it can go either way, although Jalen Hurts has set a career high for turnovers, and there's still a month to play. Pablo, I'll give you a last word here.
Yeah, speaking of fixing things, Mike McCarthy, Tony, feels a pain in his body on Wednesday. Gets his appendix out later that same day, coaching, winning this giant game on Sunday. Pretty impressive. And
Courtney had Dak as the MVP, and she locked it down. Pablo, are you with that? Kevin, you?
Yeah, I am.
All right, Tyreek Hill.
We'll talk more about MVP next and by ourselves.
Around the Horn is presented by Grey Goose. Vive la vodka. Please sip responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase.
The aftershocks of Shohei Ohtani to the Dodgers. When else has someone broken the news themselves and apologized for it taking so long? The Dodgers haven't even announced it yet. By the way, Blue Jays got to start the guy from Shark Tank now. Those are the rules. There's that and the number that Jeff Passan reported, $700 million for 10 years, just lapping any other deal in the sports and in sports ever. George, what is this?
What is it, Tony? It's Welcome to Hollywood, Shohei Ohtani. You were kind of buried in Orange County. Now you're really in the spotlight with the team that has probably the best constructor of teams in the sport currently. He did it with the Tampa Bay Rays many years ago with a small budget. Now he can do it with a big budget, and they should be the favorite to win the World Series for the next several years because
And is there any sticker shock for $700 million in Los Angeles, George?
No, Tony, come on. Okay. I mean, you go down Rodeo Drive.
Oh, yeah, people, sure.
That's falling out of people's pockets. What are you talking about?
Courtney Cronin, $700 million?
He went to the place with the best resources for him to win, in his eyes, with the Dodgers, and the place that could pay him the most money. The Dodgers are taking a gamble here, though. They didn't pay $700 million for a DH, which is what he's going to be in 2024. They're banking that UCL injury that he's coming back from will allow him to pitch in 2025. If he's not able to pitch, if we find out that this is not a guarantee that he's not able to come back to form as a two-way player, he's got to head to the outfield so they can make sure they get that full return on investment.
If he can't pitch, is there full return on an investment at $70 million a year? Kevin Blackstone to you on the sticker shock or just that the deal happened this way?
Yeah, it's no more sticker shock. I mean, this is just monopoly money at this point
okay.
in sports.
But no the thing I, shock, sure.
But what I think about with Ohtani is just what we just heard from Courtney. I mean, here's a guy with a second Tommy John. What do the Dodgers need most? They need pitching. Do you remember what they did with the Diamondbacks? They were absolutely out of that series before it even started. And he can't pitch next year. Good luck with that.
Woo, Pablo Torre.
So the money isn't a true $700 million because he's deferring a bunch of that with inflation adjusted. It's going to be closer to $40 or $50 million a year for Jeff Passan's reporting. So that's important just as a context matter. But the other aspect of it, Tony, is that I think we should probably contract the Angels. They are in this city. They had this guy for years, and they had no shot in keeping him. What are we even doing with that team anymore? Why even have it, at least where it
all
is?
All right. I mean, we've talked enough about it. So nobody was shocked when they saw the number 700 here.
No. Tony, you know why? Because he's arguably the best hitter. He's arguably the best hitter in baseball, and when he's healthy, he's arguably the best
pitcher. I'm familiar with his
oomph. Combine those two numbers together and you get it.
I mean, we hadn't seen this from Messi. We hadn't seen this from anybody. Also, the IRS signed a great deal here, too. 10 years, $350 million for
Fair.
The IRS.
Yes.
We'll move on. 49ers, 28, Seahawks, 16. Let's go back to the conversation we were just having because Brock Purdy is leading MVP odds right now, or it's Zach Prescott. It's alternating every single throw, it seems like. But on the opposite side of Brock Purdy's argument are those that say he's a system quarterback. Trent Williams is Pro Bowl All NFL lineman said he doesn't want to hear anybody call him a system quarterback. Courtney, is this system QB, no system QB debate still ongoing with Purdy, or has he ended it with his second year of excellence now?
He's ended it because he's having one of the best seasons statistically for a quarterback, completing 70.2% of his passes. That leads the league just a smidge above where Tua is, and 9.9 yards per attempt. The only other quarterback who's reached figures that high, Joe Montana, 1989, the year that he won the Super Bowl. The reason that the system quarterback element comes into play here is because of the horses that they have on offense. If you didn't watch that game yesterday in full and you look at the box score, you think, man, they did all right, but it took until the second half for this offense to get going because they had four players who had catches or runs of 44 yards or more, and that aids in Brock Purdy's overall view of him as a quarterback.
And in your personal MVP, do you take him a tick down under Dak because of that? Because you just said Dak was MVP.
Yeah, I still have Dak as my MVP, and I believe that just because of the numbers that Dak is putting up this season and the way that he's winning games, that's what puts him.
KB, how about you?
For my estimation.
No, I love Purdy, and he is a system quarterback. You know what his system is? It's one that everybody should adopt. He gets the football to the most explosive players on offense. If it's not Deebo Samuel, then maybe it's Ayuk. If it's not Ayuk, then maybe it's McCaffrey. That's the guys that he uses. And, oh, yeah, George Kittle, by the way. That's a great offense. I love that
Pablo
system.
Torre.
Yeah, I think we're still seeing Purdy through the lens of the whole Mr. Irrelevant thing. It kind of feels like, okay, he's not really that guy. talk to people who play with him and against him. He is that guy. And that guy in this case specifically is not Jimmy Garoppolo. We've run this experiment before. It looks very different when it's not Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is the perfect pilot for this offense.
George Dunham. Tony, being a system player isn't that bad of a deal. You know who were system players when they started their career? Russell Wilson, Tom Brady. Those guys were looked at as game managers. But Brock Purdy has four guys on pace to have over 800 yards and at least five touchdowns this season. Right. He's got a ton of weapons to work with. That's not a bad thing.
George Sedano, Pablo Torre, thank you for your time today. Courtney Cronin, Kevin Blackstone. Showdown next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Around the Horn is presented by Grey Goose. Vive la vodka. Please sip responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Road and Flagstone, good luck in Showdown. One of the more surprising outcomes of the week. Bears 28, Lions 13. And now a question I've asked before. Is it possible they are who we thought they were? Or they aren't who they weren't? We thought they weren't. What is happening here with the Lions? Courtney, two losses in 3 weeks.
Their defense is regressing. They allowed 18 unanswered for the Bears to come back and win this game. And offensively, they had five straight possessions in the second half where they didn't generate more than 7 net yards on any of them. That's bad.
Are you worried?
If you're a Lions fan, you're starting to get jitters. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Jared Goff, a fumble and two picks. That's kind of who you didn't want him to be. So you're a little bit nervous. Mm.
Point. Stone for the analysis. 2 points, Cronin, for covering the game. That's how you get points on this show. We'll move on. Ravens beating the Rams in overtime. Tylan Wallace, 76-yard punt return. There aren't walk-off touchdowns in overtime. They're run-off touchdowns. Miami, Monday Night Football tonight, with a win, will be the one seed. But Baltimore, currently the one seed in the AFC. KB, is that the best team in conference, the Baltimore Ravens?
Best team in football. Their defense is stout. Football. Their offense can score with Lamar Jackson. And now they just reminded you they got the best special teams in the NFL as well to go along with Justin Tucker as a kicker.
300 yards for Lamar Jackson, 3 touchdowns to 3 different receivers, 70 rushing yards on the ground. Not only the best team in the AFC, but the best team in the AFC with the best quarterback.
Mm-hmm. But Kevin Blackstone, San Francisco is on line one for you with what you just said about the best team in the league, which means Courtney Cronin. 30 seconds.
What's better than turning yourself into a meme, having your grievance remixed into a fat beat? That's what happened to Warriors coach Steve Kerr. He was recently complaining about the environment inside Footprint Center during a loss to the Phoenix Suns. So the Phoenix Suns DJ took his words complaining about thumping techno music and the South Beach vibes into a Benny Benassi classic and played it during Friday's game.
See you tomorrow.
Happy Hour.